wait for this. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم بارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My respected brothers and my sisters in Islam Today with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy we have Surah Jin It is a surah that has been revealed regarding our brothers and sisters from the jinn and about their world and the experiences. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them in great detail in this surah, tells us about what was going through their minds, what happened to them, what sort of life they lead, what are the challenges that they face, what are the misconceptions that they held. And then thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to direct them and guide them towards a particular path of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of obeying the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if they do not do so, then it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not respond to them in the best of ways and that they might become the people of the fire. This surah, Ya Ikhwati, has a very special place for all of us. The reason why is because of the reason for revelation of this surah. This surah was revealed at a very, very special time. If you remember, Ya Ikhwati, the Prophet ﷺ was very distressed after the death of his wife and after the death of Abu Talib, which all happened in the same year, Amul Huzn, right? It's the year of distress for the Prophet ﷺ, soon after his wife died, soon after Abu Talib died, etc. And then all the difficulties started on the Prophet ﷺ. As you can imagine, that is the great distress for the Prophet ﷺ. So what did Rasulullah ﷺ do? He thought that perhaps if Quraysh is not going to listen to me, then people around Quraysh, around Makkah will listen to me. So where did he go? He went off to Ta'if. Yeah? What is Ta'if? Ta'if is about 70 kilometers outside of Makkah. It's to the north of Makkah, about 70 kilometers to the north of Makkah. He went there thinking that perhaps the people of Ta'if would respond favorably to his message. However, he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. But what did the people do? They pelted him with stones. They swore at him. They had their children take out all the dirt in their homes, all the dirty stuff that they have in their garbage, and they pelted Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this noble man. They insulted him and pelted him in this way until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was chased out of Ta'if with his feet bleeding and with pus and blood coming out of his feet, subhanAllah. Can you imagine how distressed the Prophet ﷺ would have been? And then what happened? The Prophet ﷺ went a little bit outside of Ta'if and came down to a tree, under a tree, a date palm tree, where he rested. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, as you know the story, that Jibreel ﷺ came down with the angel of the two mountains and said, Ya Rasulullah, if you wish, I will destroy them between these two mountains, destroy the people of Ta'if. And the Prophet ﷺ made the dua, which you all know about, which is that, no, rather I wish that a people will come from them who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afterwards. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah reports, it is Fathul Bari, that no less than 820 scholars of Islam came from Ta'if. No less than 820 scholars of Islam came from Ta'if. As you can see, the dua of Muhammad ﷺ was truly accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah changed the hearts of the people of Ta'if later on, until so many great ulama actually came from the people of Ta'if as well. But what is amazing is what happened whilst the Prophet ﷺ was sitting under the tree. What happened was two things happened. Number one was a Christian slave that belonged to two of the non-Muslims, who was a Christian slave, came to Muhammad ﷺ and spoke, and he tended to the wounds of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wounds that he had on his legs and on his body. And at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this Christian man accept Islam. Okay, that's the first thing that happened, that this Christian slave, he accepted Islam at the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only second Christian, you might say, to accept Islam after the uncle of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, whose name was, what was his name? Waraqah. Waraqah ibn Nufayr was the only other Christian that accepted Islam. And then after that, this man accepted Islam. Of course, some said that, no, Maria also accepted Islam, but Maria was a slave girl of the Prophet ﷺ that came later. Ala kulli hal, this man then also accepted Islam. That's number one. The second thing is, nightfall came. When the sun came down and the nightfall came, then all the jinn that were off, around that valley all came to Muhammad ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ recited, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, to them. The surah which he recited was Surah Alaq. And this is the incident that happened. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. What actually happened was, at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ, a group of jinn, to go and listen to the Prophet ﷺ and accept Islam. So the message that we have for the take-home message from this incident, ya ikhwati, that I take home every time I recite this surah, Surah Jinn, is that wallahi, if we don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we choose not to listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow his path and to follow his guidance, Allah will send another people. Allah will send another creation. Allah will create another people who will listen to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who will accept his message. And today, wallahi, this is what I find. Today, we find new converts to Islam. They are the ones who are taking on the message of Islam in their hands. How many of the great dua that you know of today are actually new converts and new reverts? So many of them, subhanAllah. Abu Amina, Bilal Phillips, Yusuf Estes, Abdul Rahim Breed, all converts. Where are the Muslim du'at that were born upon Islam? Where are the great du'at amongst them? Very few, unfortunately, compared to the number that are accepting Islam and that are becoming da'is, are far more in number than the ones that are actually born Muslims and they're calling to Islam. So, ikhwati, truly, if we choose not to follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will bring another creation. Allah will bring another creation who will of a surety listen to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and obey him. And this is the message I take back from this incident of the revelation of Surah Jinn. So, ikhwati, the jinn are a creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created along with Muslimin. We know from Surah Baqarah that the jinn were created before insan. Jinn were created even before insan was created. How do we know this? Well, because when Adam was created, alayhi salatu wasalam, then he was asked to all the people to prostrate, and then of course Iblis decided not to prostrate. We know that Iblis was a jinn, not as people say that, okay, he was from the angels. No, that's not true. The vast majority of the scholars of Islam are in agreement that Iblis was a jinn. And that is because Allah says so in the Quran, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسِقَ عَنْ عَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He was from the jinn and he disbelieved in the command of his Lord. So we know that therefore Iblis was a jinn as well. So we know that therefore a large number of jinn are actually kuffar, because they are the evil group of people, evil being that has been created to test human beings and to test the rest of mankind. In an authentic narration which is in At-Tabarani and others, it is reported that every single time one human being is born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows one jinn, one child of Iblis to be born as well. So for every single human being, there is one shaitan. And that is why we know that with all of us, we have one shaitan with all of us at the same time. However, we all have five angels. Though we have one shaitan, although Iblis has only one shaitan that is responsible over us, we have five angels responsible over us at any given time. So the odds are in our favor. Where are the five angels, by the way? Well, there's two angels that interchange at Fajr and at Asr time, and they write down our book of deeds, right? One to our right, one to our left. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. In Surah Qaf, Allah says, he does not say a single word except they are two angels that are writing down his deeds all the time. Correct? These are the two. Then we have another two. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Another verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he has interchanging angels in front of him and behind him, protecting him from that which Allah has not decreed for him. Meaning what? Like a jinn that wants to attack him, or a aqrab or a scorpion that wants to bite you, or a snake that wants to bite you. Then these angels, there's one in front of you, one behind you, protecting you all the time. from these things that are trying to attack you and harm you all the time. And then a fifth one. The fifth angel is the angel that whispers in your ear to do good. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the authentic hadith, as reported in some of the books of Sunan, that for every single time a shaitan whispers in your ear to do bad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept an angel who will whisper in your ear to do good as well. Alhamdulillah. So five angels at any given time. 7 billion people. That's 35 billion angels just looking after human beings. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine that? Amazing, isn't it? وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. No one knows about the army of Allah except Allah. How amazing and how large is the number of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ikhwati, the jinn were created from a smokeless fire, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Rahman. And they are an entity that can take multiple forms. They can take multiple forms. So they can become invisible, so they are mixed into the air, or they can actually take multiple forms. So they can become jamadat, which means solids, or they can become liquids as well, as some of the scholars of Islam have also mentioned. They can take the form of human beings, and they can take the form of animals as well. We know that the Prophet ﷺ told us that they're attracted to it and they eat it. Smoke. They feast on smoke. They eat smoke. Also, they eat the foam on the top of the ocean. The foam on the top of the ocean, they eat that as well. All of this has been reported in the authentic narrations and from the statements of the Salaf al-Salih. Also, it has been reported that the jinn are both male and female. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. It's going to come up. So therefore, jinni, there are males and females as well. And indeed, they get married as well. And they can have children too. The scholars of Islam have differences whether the jinns can marry human beings or not. Majority believe that they cannot marry human beings, meaning sleep with them and have sexual intercourse and have children. However, some scholars, such as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, was of the opinion that they can. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says in his fatawa that the jinn can marry human beings and can have children with them. And he gave a couple of examples of it as well. You can go back to his fatawa and read. It's very interesting, where he mentions some examples of how some of the jinn married human beings and had children with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We don't know, what sort of people these human beings would become, the ones that are mixed between male and female. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. However, we know that some animals have been created from the jinn. We know that the camel has been created from the jinn. This is an authentic hadith, which is in Musnad Imam Ahmed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that the camel was created from the jinn. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade us from praying in the stables of camels. He forbade us from praying in the stables of camels. And that is why also none of the prophets ever were camel herdsmen. They were always sheep herders. They were never camel herders, because the nature of the people who deal with camels is to have a very hard and harsh nature with human beings. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that the prophets of God be very soft-natured individuals so that people don't run away from them. And when we know that the nature of the camel is also like the nature of the jinn. Have you seen the nature of the camel? The camel will be very quiet, eating on its own, but if you disturb the camel whilst it's sleeping with its wife, or it is tending to its young, I don't know, because I've never been a camel herdsman, but I know my sheikh told me this. So my sheikh used to have a farm. And I remember Sheikh Shuraim, who has a sweeter voice? So there's a Shuraim. Shuraim, right? So you can tell who is the camel herdsman, isn't it? So Shuraim has a camel farm. And I remember our sheikh was saying that Sheikh Shuraim told them once that if you ever insult the camel whilst it is sleeping with its mate, meaning it's having sexual intercourse with its mate, if you see the camel at that time whilst it's sleeping with its mate, the camel will not stop until it kills you. Okay? The camel will not stop until it kills you. Allahu ta'ala alim. I don't know if that is true or not, but mashallah, that's ghira and izza, isn't it? That's what you call ghira and izza. Glory be to Allah who has put so much ghira and izza in camels or in animals that today, unfortunately, human beings are missing. So Allah knows best, but this is also the nature of the jinn. If the jinn feel that you have harmed its mate, or you have harmed its children, or you have harmed him, somehow he will not stop until he kills you, or he possesses you and disturbs you for the rest of your life. And this is the nature of possession. Possession is that a jinn becomes over infatuated with a human being, like falls in love with a human being, or wants to harm a human being, and then enters the human being and stays in his body and disturbs the human being and his functioning. Sometimes takes control of his voice, sometimes takes control of his mind, sometimes takes control of his limbs and makes him do things that sometimes he hasn't ever done. It is also authentically reported that some of the jinn have also killed babies inside wombs. They kill the babies inside the womb of women, and also that they stop the children from forming when the husband and wife sleep with each other. Then from the egg and the sperm from getting together and forming zygotes, they stop that from happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but these are all that which is reported authentically from some of the Salaf al-Salih and from some of the people that I have met, and I'm sure you will read a lot more about this, about those scholars in Islam who are very, very busy, who deal with exorcism and with removing the jinn from the body. So, ikhwati, what is it that enables them to do so? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving them the ability to flow within our veins. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily, inna shaytana yajri fi jasad al-adam majrad dam, fi jasad ibn adam majrad dam. Verily, shaytan flows in the body of a human being, the flowing of blood. فَضَيِّقُوهُ بِالصَّوْمِ. So constrict upon him by fasting. Authentic hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim. So we know that Rasulullah ﷺ told us that jinns have an effect on our bodies. They have an effect on our emotions, on our mannerism. And no doubt a lot of the problems that we face today are due to the influence of the jinn on our body. However, what we also know is that that which decreases the influence on our body and the ability to cause harm to us is to recite the Quran and to increase in our own taqwa and our practice of Islam. So it was reported that when Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, when he entered into Baghdad, that all the jinns left the people that they were possessed, that they were possessing. All the jinns decided to leave Baghdad. And they said, it was reported, as reported in the manaqib of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, it is reported that they said, we will not stay in a city in which Imam Ahmed lives. It was also reported that once Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he was having a class, he was giving a class of tafsir, and he was sitting on his chair to give a class of tafsir. So one of the students came and said, ya Shaykh, I please help me, my wife is possessed. My wife is possessed. The Shaykh said, it is reported, this is in reported by Abdul Hadi in the manaqib of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. It is reported that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was, it's really funny, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was giving the class, and he said, look, I'm too busy giving the class, but why don't you take my shoe? So he took the sandal of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and this student went with the sandal of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah to his wife and raised the sandal up like this, and then the jinn spoke out and said, is that the sandal of Ibn Taymiyyah? Yes, then I'm leaving, khalas. Subhanallah. Ya ikhwati, no doubt, your ability to remove the jinn from someone who is possessed is by the taqwa that a person has. So if you want to test your taqwa, if you want to test how high you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then go and try to perform exorcism of someone who is possessed. I assure you, you will get a realization of how close you are to Allah, or how far away you are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, your taqwa and your recitation of the Quran is what causes the jinn to burn inside their bodies and then to come out or to stay within. It is also reported that multiple jinns can possess a human being at the same time. I remember reading upon one sister once who had 60 jinns within her. No less than 60 jinns that had possessed her, subhanallah. So it is indeed possible. I had a brother who used to study with me in Medina, who was a great student, mashallah. He used to study with me in Medina whilst I was a student in Medina University. And we used to see the jinn playing with him. They used to burn his skin. And whilst I was sitting with him in our Sharia class, he would be next to me. And in front of me, his skin would be burning. And we would be reciting on him, and the Shaykh would recite on him, because he had so much black magic and possession that was done, because unfortunately his auntie had possessed wanted to do black magic on them, subhanAllah. So, Yakhuti, jinn possession and the effect of jinns on human beings is true. So, Yakhuti, we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially by reciting the last two surahs of the Quran, by reciting Surah Baqarah, Surah Al Imran, by reciting Fajr on time, by making sure that we do not expose ourselves, do not stay around bad smell and dirty things in the house, etc. We protect ourselves from the jinn, for indeed the jinn have a inferiority complex when it comes to human beings. Ever since shaitan was banished from Jannah because of Iblis's wrongdoing of not prostrating, ever since then he has had an inferiority complex about human beings. So therefore, whenever there's an opportunity to harm human beings, then indeed the jinn get to work and they harm human beings. And this is why the jinns work with soothsayers, jinns work with black magicians, jinns work with witch doctors, etc., in order to harm us. In fact, the evil eye is also the effects of the jinn as well. The evil eye and, of course, the black magic are all effects of the jinn upon us. So, Ikhwati, this is the story of the jinn. This is their life. This is how they behave with us. However, rest assured that just like they can see us in this dunya, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says in his Nuniya that we will be able to see them and they will not be able to see us in the Akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn the tables on them, and alhamdulillah, in the day of judgment, they will not be able to see us, but we will be able to see them, inshallah. So we can get back shaitan at that point, inshallah. Tayyib. Let's continue on and take the surah, the tafsir of Surah Jinn. As I already explained to you, initially Surah Jinn deals with what the jinn said and how they describe their life and their world. Then thereafter, the last part of Surah Jinn deals with how Rasulullah ﷺ was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell the jinn to do certain specific things and to obey Allah and His Messenger and to stop disobeying and to be of those people who are upon the right path, inshallah. So let's take the story of the jinn, and inshallah, if there are certain things about their life or their nature I've forgotten to mention, I will mention it to you, inshallah, as we take it. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the one who is generally merciful to everything that is created, the one who is specifically merciful to believers. Qul, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the believers and tell the people who read the Quran. Uhiya ilayya, it has been revealed to me, annahu istama'a, that the following group of beings have heard me. Annahu istama'a nafarun min al-jinn, a group of jinn have heard me reciting the Quran. So annahu istama'a nafarun min al-jinn, reciting the Quran, which is Surah Alaq. فَقَالُوا, so they said, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا, verily we have heard a most tremendous Quran, a very amazing recitation. Quran means that which is recited. Quran comes with the word قَرَأَ, so Qur'ana means to be recited, something that's recited. So when they said, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا, meaning we have heard a very amazing recitation of certain things. إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ, it guides to that which is upright, so we have believed in it. وَلَن نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا, and we will not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is two important points to make from this verse. Number one is that the jinn agreed and they understood that this Quran guides to everything that which is upright. يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ, guides to that which is upright. There is a verse in the Quran which is in Surah Isra, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ, verily this Quran guides to that which is upright. Imam al-Shanqiti rahimahullah, Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti, in his tafsir called Al-Adwa al-Bayan, Adwa al-Bayan, great tafsir, which is tafsir al-Quran bil-Quran, tafsir of the Quran with Quran, he says, he explains this verse, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. Do you know how many pages? He explains this verse, 60 pages. 60 pages of how this Quran guides to that which is upright. Allahu Akbar. If you read it, you'll be so amazed. He goes on and on and on and on about how this Quran guides to that which is upright and guides to everything that which is true. He talks about Tawheed, how Allah guides us to Tawheed through the Quran, how Allah guides to the upright manners, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the stories of the past, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the miracles that are medical miracles and the scientific miracles. He goes on and on and on and shows about how this Quran guides to that which is upright. So indeed, look at these jinn. They have heard a small amount of the Quran, but they have understood that this Quran guides to everything that which is upright. Yahdi ila rushdi fa amanna bih. Guides to that which is upright. Fa amanna bihi. So we have believed in it. Walan nushrika bi rabbina ahada. The second point to make from this is that they understood that the total meaning of the Quran is to guide you towards Tawheed. The ultimate purpose of the Quran is Tawheed. The ultimate purpose of the Quran is Tawheed. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says the Quran guides to the Tawheed, to Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in four ways. In four ways the Quran guides to Tawheed. How? Number one are those verses where Allah orders people to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to worship only one God. So those verses. Number two, the Quran tells you about the stories of the people of Tawheed, which are the stories of the prophets of God, the stories of their people and how they believed, right? And their stories. So through this, number three, it tells you about the stories of those people who disbelieved in Tawheed and as a result were tortured and punished because of this. So again, to do with Tawheed, wasn't it? Why Ad was punished, Thamud was punished, Banu Israel was punished, right? All of this, Firaun was punished, all of this to do with the stories of those people who did not listen to Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number four is all those rules and regulations, 68 verses, as Ibn Qudama rahimahullah counted, 68 verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to do certain obligatory things like how to divide up your inheritance, how to be with your wife, how many talaq there is, etc. All of the rules and regulations which is to do with branches of Tawheed. Because essentially, what is ibadah except branches of Tawheed, la ilaha illallah? And what is sins except branches of the main tree of shirk? Because what does sins lead to except shirk? And what does ibadah lead to, and acts of worship and fiqh lead to except Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, ikhwati, no doubt, the whole purpose of this Quran is to guide to la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That's it. So this is the most important thing, guiding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the jinn understood that. وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا. And high above is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جَدُّ رَبِّنَا, meaning the honor of Allah is ta'ala, or the glory of Allah. تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا. So high be the status and the might and the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا. مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدَا. He did not take a partner, nor has he ever taken a son. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطًا. Now we know that indeed the foolish people amongst us, the foolish jinn amongst us, used to say about him شَطَطًا. What is شَطَط? Doubtful matters, ignorant sayings, wrong statements. This is what shatat means. Shatat means that which is away from the truth, that which is far removed from the truth. So, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا. Verily, those who are safih, safih means the foolish ones, used to say, عَلَيْهِمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. What did they used to say? شَطَطَا, meaning those that which were lies and that which was not the truth at all. وَأَنَّا ظَنَنَّا أَلَّن تَقُولَ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. We were naive. We were naive people. We thought that jinn and mankind will never ever lie about Allah. Look at the naivety of people, ya ikhwati. And this is the problem today. People are far too naive. You can't be naive. Realize this, that the vast majority of those, if you were to ask them, they would not speak the truth about Allah. وَمَا أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَوْ حَرَسْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, the vast majority of people and the vast majority of jinn, if you were to ask them about Allah, they would not speak the truth. But the jinn were so naive that they thought, what did they say? وَأَنَّا ظَلَنَّا. We thought, dhan is to have thought, or used to have that thinking. We thought, أَلَّنْ تَقُولَ الْإِنْسِ, that insan will never ever, وَالْجِنْ, and jinn will never ever say anything, عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا, will not ever lie about Allah. But the reality is, no, don't be naive. Brothers and sisters in Islam, do not be naive. People around you do not want good for you. People around you do not want you to go to Jannah. The only people, I guess, who want you to be better than you, better than themselves, is your parents. Other than that, ya akhi, vast majority of people are not the most trustworthy people. You have to become more intelligent. You know, ikhwati, when I speak to young people, young brothers and sisters, I always like to give them one example. I like to give them the example of Coca-Cola adverts. Have you guys seen Coca-Cola adverts? And I tell them, tell me and describe to me a Coca-Cola advert. Is the Coca-Cola advert a fat, old, hairy man who's drinking Coke? No, it's not a fat, old, hairy man. It's usually a very muscular, strong, right? Muscular, strong, handsome man on a beach who's got six packs, glistening muscles, and he is drinking Coke, correct? And on his side, he has a beautiful girl who's also drinking Coke. So what is that picture trying to tell you? It's trying to tell you that if you drink Coke, you'll have this happy life. But the reality is totally different. Tehtarik has how many teaspoons of sugar? How many teaspoons of sugar do you put in your tehtarik? 2, 3 maximum, right? If you're really bad, you put 3. Otherwise, it's 2. Sometimes 1, sometimes not even that, right? But Pepsi has 16 teaspoons of sugar in one Coke, in one 330 mils, has 16 teaspoons of sugar. So next time you drink normal Coke, think about it again. You're drinking 16 teaspoons. The point I'm trying to make is what? People tell you one thing, the reality is something else. People will tell you, the world will tell you one thing, but the reality is something else. You have to be critical. You can't be naive. You have to ask questions. You have to look beyond the covers. You have to look underneath the reality of the story and find out what really is the reality of the story. Do not be naive. Tell your children to not be naive. To not believe everything they hear. They must be inquisitive. They must look into the story and really realize what the truth is. And that's just one example that I just wanted to give you, just to show you the reality is so far from what people present. Subhanallah. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ وَإِنَّا ظَنَنَّا أَلَّنْ تَقُولَ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Naive jinns, they thought that indeed no one would lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would they? But the reality is they do. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَحَقًا. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ, there used to be رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ, some men from human beings. يَعُوذُونَ, they used to seek refuge. بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ, with a group of the jinn. فَزَادُوهُمْ رَحَقًا, so they increased them in nothing but fear. The tafsir of this verse reports that Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that when the people of the Quraysh and the people of the Arabian Peninsula before Islam, when they used to go past a valley, they used to go past a valley, and when they came to a valley and they wanted to encamp there, they used to say, أَعُوذُ بِسَيِّدِ هَذَا الْوَادِ مِنْ شَرِّ رِجَالِهِ. Okay? So they used to say, I seek refuge in the Sayyid, or the Lord of this valley, from all his other men, meaning all the other hidden jinns and spirits, etc. So what used to happen is that the jinn used to feel, as you know, they have an inferiority complex, right? Have you seen anyone who feels inferior about someone? When that person speaks highly about them, they feel really, wow, look at me, you know, I'm really great. Yeah? So the jinn start feeling really great. And so they used to, زَادُوهُمْ رَحَقًا. So they used to start whispering in their ears, and they used to cause eerie sounds in the middle of the night in the depths of the valley, from which the men would be even more afraid. So they used to seek refuge in not but Allah, but in the jinn. And what happened? They only increased them in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the truth, ikhwati. If you seek refuge in Allah, Allah increases you in peace. And if you seek refuge in anyone other than Allah, they only increase you in fear. Only refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which increases peace and comfort in the heart. Ala bi dhikrillahi taqba'innul qulub. Is it not by the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find rest? وأنه كان رجال من الإنس يعوذون برجال من الجن فزادوهم رهقا وأنهم ظنوا كما ظننتم أن لن يبعث الله أحدا. And they thought, as we thought, that indeed Allah will not send anyone at all. So, Yekhwati, why are the jinn saying this? Why did they think that no one will be sent? Because all of the prophets of God were human beings. They were never jinns. There were never ever a single prophet from the jinn. Every single prophet of God was always a human being. And according to the vast majority of the scholars of Islam, except for a few scholars, such as At-Tabari and others, but the vast majority of the scholars of Islam agree that all the prophets of God were male human beings. Were male and they were human beings. Okay? Tayyib. So, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose every single prophet from human beings? And that is how Allah has blessed the children of Adam. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out the children of Adam and blessed us. That He has chosen the prophets of God from human beings. And alhamdulillah for that. If He has chosen the shayateen from the ins, from the jinn, He has chosen those that guide you to Jannah from the ins. Alhamdulillah. طيب. وَأَنَّهُمْ ظَنُّوا كَمَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَلَّا يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا. And just like our days of the past, or just like we used to do in the past, لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ, we went up to the sky, so we tried to seek out the knowledge of what is going to happen from the sky. Meaning, they went up to the heavens and they tried to listen to what the angels were whispering to each other about what is going to happen tomorrow and the qadr that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to decree. فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا. So now we have found, meaning after the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have found that now it is مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا. It is full of haras. Haras means guards. So the sky is full of angels that are guardians, guarding the heavens. So the jinn are no longer able to go up and listen. مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا, meaning very severe guards, or very severely populated with guards, meaning so many guards that we cannot find a single place to go up and listen. Okay? مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا. And shuhub means armed with weapons. And shuhub means these are the lightning bolts from the stars. Shuhub means the fire from the stars. So the scholars of Islam and tafsir in Faid al-Qadir of Shawkani mentions that shuhub means, according to the majority of the scholars of Islam, that they are like the lightning bolts, like the meteors, but they are I don't know how to describe it, but basically, Ikhwati, they are like lightning or fire that comes of the stars. So the shuhub are actually firebolts or fireballs, right? That come out of the stars and are thrown at them. So what they found is that the guards are so many angels guarding the sky, and also they actually are throwing at the angel, at the jinn, they are punishing them with the shuhub, which are these balls of fire. Right. And the scholars of Islam said the balls of fire are not meteors. They are not meteors, but that the burnt up angel, the burnt up jinn, they are the meteors. Okay, so some of the jinn, when they get burnt up with the shuhub and they come down to the sky, then their bodies burn up and that is what becomes the meteors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There are of course other meteors which are rocks that are hurling towards us, but many of the shooting stars, when you see them, then these are the shayateen that are trying to ascend to the heavens, but then they get thrown and they get balls of fire thrown at them, and when they come down, then they come down as meteors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ. And we used to take a place in order to hear. We wanted to take a place in order to hear, just like we used to do before, and then tell the kahana and the soothsayers, فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعَ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. So whoever tries to do that now, meaning whichever angel, whichever jinn, tries to do that now, then indeed he will find shihab al-rasada, meaning he will find indeed the worst of of torture and the most severe of weapons waiting to be hurled towards him. Shihab, shihab means these are missiles. So a missile is called a shihab. So shihab al-rasada means missiles that have been waiting and are just about to be thrown at us in order to destroy us, whoever tries to do it. So therefore, ikhwati, before the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the soothsayers had a lot of lies and truth mixed up. But after the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no more. It's all lies. It's all conjecture. And if they actually say something which happens to be true, then that's just a fluke. It's just a coincidence. Okay? It's never ever that they can actually hear anything more from the shaitan. Because the shayateen can never now go up to the heavens and hear anything about what is being revealed in the heavens. فَمَا يَسْتَمِعْ عَانَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابَ الرَّصَدَى وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. Ibn Zayd, one of the scholars of tafsir, said that this is a statement that was made by Iblis. That when Iblis saw that the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is near, and that no longer the angel, no longer the jinn can go up and listen anymore to the stories of what is going to be revealed, what is going to happen, then Iblis started to spread tales and lies about Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what he said. He said, وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So he went and he created despondency amongst the jinn, and he told them, man, you guys don't know anymore. Does God want good for you, or does God want evil for you all? No more, because now you can't even go up now anymore. So he started spreading these rumors amongst the jinn, the good jinn. And so they said, وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by stopping us from hearing the stories and the news of the heavens, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want evil for the people of this earth, or does Allah want rashada, meaning guidance and hidayah? We know the truth, right? The truth is Allah stopped these people from listening to the stories of the heavens, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only to mankind, but to jinn as well. And that is how now they understand that. Yes, now we know that Allah wanted khair, but Allah wanted khair through us listening to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ قِدَادًا. Indeed, from amongst us, the jinn are saying, telling about the story, amongst us are the salihun, amongst us are the righteous jinn. وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ, and amongst us are those who are not righteous, meaning they are the shayateen. كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ قِدَادًا. We are, qidada means multiple, tara'iq means different tribes, tariqa means tribe or a way or path. Kunna tara'iq qidada, we are multiple groups, multiple types. And that is the truth, ikhwati. If you think that your enemies, if you think that others are united and we are divided, that's not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that indeed the Jews are as divided, or if not sometimes more divided than us. And we know as well, in the same way, the jinn and the shayateen, you think that they're all united, but rather the reality is they're all tara'iq qidada. They're all disunited, they're different. Kunna tara'iq qidada. Wa anna dhananna an lan nu'jiza Allah fil ardi wa lan nu'jizahu haraba. And we know of a surety that lan nu'jiza Allah fil ard. We will not ever escape the power of Allah on this earth. وَلَن نُعْجِزَهُ حَرَبًا. And we will not escape him by running away from him. Ya ikhwati, how powerful are the jinn? Amazing, isn't it? What did that jinn say to Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam? What did he tell him? He told him that he will go and get the throne of Sheba from Yemen, from where he was, which was in Syria and Sham. He will get the throne, which is how many thousand kilometers? 2,000 kilometers, at the blink of an eye, isn't it? He will get it that fast, before he can even stand up. How fast is that? How mighty, how powerful is that? Subhanallah. Even then, they know that they cannot escape the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even then, they know they can't escape the power of Allah. Today, ikhwati, when we are strong, we're able-bodied, or we have wealth, or we have children, we think we are so good and strong. But the jinn know, despite having this much power and authority, they still know that they will never ever escape the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّا لَمَّا سَمِعْنَا الْهُدَىٰ. And when we heard the huda, which is the Qur'an, the hidayah, آمَنَّا بِهِ, we have believed in it. فَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِرَبِّهِ, so whoever believes in his Lord, فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْصًا وَلَا رَحَقًا, then he will never ever fear bakhs, wala rahaq. What does bakhs mean? What does rahaq mean? فَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِرَبِّهِ, whoever believes in his Lord, فَلَا يَخَافُ, he should never ever fear bakhs. Bakhs means naqs. Means naqs in your wealth, naqs in your health, naqs in your provisions. Whoever fears Allah Azza wa Jal, let him know that Allah will never ever take his wealth away or destroy him. If Allah takes it, it's only temporarily. But Allah will only increase him in khair. Allah will only give him more, right? فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْسًا وَلَا رَحَقًا. رَحَقًا meaning تُغْيَان. So بَخْس means نَقْسَان and رَحَق means تُغْيَان, meaning he should never ever fear any deficiency in his provisions from Allah, nor should he ever ever fear that Allah will mistreat him and harm him. فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْسًا وَلَا رَحَقًا. وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِتُونَ. And from us, indeed, are those who submit to Allah are Muslimin. And from us are those who are qasitun. Those who are indeed who are qasitun. Qasitun meaning those who are ja'irun. Ja'irun means those people who transgress the limits, the sinners. So qasit means the sinner. وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ, those who submit to Allah, and from us are the sinners. فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ تَحَرَّوْ رَشَدًا. Indeed, he who has submitted, he is the one who has taken the path of rushd or guidance. وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِتُونَ, as for the sinners, the qasitun, فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا, then they will be the fuel, hatab meaning fuel, for Jahannam. So ikhwati, we know that not only is Jahannam a punishment for the insan, but it is also the punishment for the jinn as well. So the jinn will also be punished in the same fire as well, ya ikhwati. They are hurt and harmed by the same things that insan are also hurt and harmed. And so they will also be hurt and harmed by the fire, and they will become fuel for the fire. وَأَلَّوْ إِسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. And if only, Allah says, this is Allah speaking, and He says, وَأَلَّوْ إِسْتَقَامُوا, if they were only to be steadfast on the path, عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ, upon the path, لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ, سُقْيَا is to give to drink. لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ, I would have given them to drink, مَاءً غَدَقًا, water in countless measure. So are we saying that the angel, that the jinns drink water? Answer is yes, they do. As I started this tafsir, and I told you that some of the scholars mentioned that they don't drink the water, but they drink the foam on the water, which is also liquidy, isn't it? The foam on the water that forms, so as the water hits the beach, you know, they hit the side of the rocks on the beach, and there's a froth and foam that happens on top. That's what they eat, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said in his fatawa. طيب على الطريقة لأسقيناهم ما أن غدقا لنفتنهم فيه. However, we have given them a choice in order to test them. To do iftitan means to test them. لنفتنهم فيه, in order that we may test them. وَمَن يُعْرِضْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِ, and whoever turns away from the remembrance of his Lord, يَسْلُكُ عَذَابًا صَعَدًا, then he will take him, meaning his Lord, will take him towards a adab, a punishment, sa'ada, which will only increase, a high and elevated punishment. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Indeed, the masajid are for Allah, so do not call upon anyone other than Allah. Meaning what? Meaning at the time of salah, at the time of your prayer, they are all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not call upon jinn, do not call upon shaitan for help, do not call upon anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. This is an advice for us human beings, and also for the jinn as well. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدُعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدُعُوهُ كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدًا. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبُدُ اللَّهِ And when the slave of Allah, who is the slave of Allah? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been called the slave of Allah, it's by way of honor, isn't it? Because he has been called the slave of Allah, meaning the honored one, the honored slave of Allah. So when the slave of Allah stood in order to يَدْعُوهُ, call them to the path, كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدَى كَادُوا, meaning they were almost, يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ, they were almost about to, لِبَدَى. What does لِبَدَى mean? Means, have you guys, for example, you know, if I start having an argument with this brother, for example, right? Then you know what? You did it, no, you did it, no, 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 you did it, no, you did it. And then you know how people start congregating around? Have you noticed that? And then others say like, hey, what's going on? Let's go find out, right? And they go, and then they quickly try and push the other people and say, quickly, they want to listen too. And then others come and keep more and more come. And when they all come, they want to just jump on top of each other. They want to listen to really what's happening, right? And that's exactly what libada means. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبُدُ اللَّهِ And when the Muhammad started to recite the Quran to them and call them to the path, they started to hurtle around until they were all about to crouch on top of each other, about to fall on Muhammad and crush him. Can you imagine that? This is how they were all. Can you imagine how the jinn was so eager to listen to what Rasulullah was saying? Ya akhwati, ask yourself, are you eager to listen to the hidayah? Are you also eager to listen to the guidance? Are you also eager to listen to the Quran and the tafsir and eager to listen to his sunnah? We should be, ya akhwati. Because look how the jinn were. Kadu yakununa alayhi liba. They nearly crushed him by almost falling on top, you know? Subhanallah. It's just, I don't know, when I read it, I feel this amazing sweetness that, you know, we have brothers from the jinn who we don't know about. And they used to say that there were these three jinns who used to act like Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah had three jinns. Three jinns meaning three jinns who used to take the form of Ibn Taymiyyah. They were his students, but they used to take the form of Ibn Taymiyyah. They used to say that when Ibn Taymiyyah used to be in prison, that these three jinns used to take the form of Ibn Taymiyyah and they would do the good deeds Ibn Taymiyyah used to do, like feeding the poor. And then people used to say, oh, what is, Ibn Taymiyyah is out, look, that's him, he's feeding the poor. But no, that's, what? Oh, he's still in prison? So who is that? Then Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim says in his Hadi al-Arwah that I came to Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, and said, Ya Shaykh, we saw you outside feeding the poor. He said, no, those are the jinns. Those are a few jinns that like to take my form. And they didn't want to disappoint the poor. So they take my form and they feed the poor. They feed the poor on behalf of me. Allahu Akbar. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing, wallahi. I don't know how many of them are here. How many jinns are here? Who knows? Allah Ta'ala alam. But we know that in Medina University, there used to be a lot of jinns that used to study. In fact, one of the stories, I don't know if one of the brothers here were from Medina, they might remember how Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, in his time, there used to be so many jinns that used to study in our university. One of the stories that our Shaykh used to tell us in Usul al-Fiqh, he told us about how there used to be these jinns who used to study in Medina University. I'm sure there's many here as well. Don't worry, guys. I mean, nothing to be afraid of. I mean, come on, IIUM is a big university, man. You should be expecting them to be studying here, right? Okay? So there were these jinns who used to study, and there was an incident that happened after which Sheikh bin Baz told the jinn to all leave. So what happened was, there was a student who was studying, the other, as you know, in Medina University, our shukka and our rooms are very small. Alhamdulillah, I never ever stayed there. I always stayed outside with my wife, but... if you ever lived in those dormitories of Medina University, which were like cockroach cabins, one of the students was studying, and then all these other students were asleep, but he was studying for his exams. So the people who were asleep said, can you keep it quiet? We're trying to sleep. I said, okay. So he started to keep quiet. And then one of them said, can you close the door? There's a lot of cold wind coming in. It was a cold time. There's a bit of cold wind coming in. And we want to keep the door closed. So the guy who was studying said, no, you do it. I've got no time. I have to study. I've got exams. So one of them said, no, man, you're there. You're sitting up. Go and do it. And the next thing they see is that his hands went all the way to the door. His hand. He was sitting here, but his door is there. His hands went all the way to the door, extended, and then closed the door on him. And so they freaked out. And they went to Sheikh bin Baz and said, Ya Sheikh, this is what we saw. What's going on? So the Sheikh called them and they realized it was about a group of about 30 or 40 jinns that was studying in Medina University, saying, Sheikh, we were studying here. So the Sheikh said, please leave because these guys are freaking out. So then from then on, they left. Alhamdulillah, khair. There was another report from the Ahl Hadith of India. It is reported in a scholar by the name of Shamsuddin. Have you heard of this scholar called Shamsuddin? The Shamsuddin, great scholar of Hadith in Pakistan and India. This was before the 1945 separation, the independence of India. What happened at that time was, was this scholar called Shamsuddin, he wrote in his memories, he wrote an autobiography himself, and he wrote in it, it's actually there now, you can read it. He wrote that one day he went to his room and where all his books were, and he found a snake there. So he said, I remember the hadith of Rasulullah that I have to tell the snake 3 times, get out, otherwise kill it. So I told them, ordered him 3 days and 3 nights I gave him to get out. So the snake didn't listen to me, so I killed the snake. And the next day I was going for Fajr. This is Sheikh Shamsuddin writing that he said that he was going for Fajr. And next thing I know is something lifted me up. And they took me in the air and they brought me to a place of a gathering of the jinn, where they was doing a mahkama. The jinn were doing a mahkama, and the mahkama was that the brother of the jinn that I had killed, who was the snake, had called a mahkama of the elders of the jinn to kill me because I had killed his brother. Okay? And he was a Muslim jinn. That other snake was a Muslim jinn. So this jinni said, oh, mashayikh of the jinn, this man has killed my brother. So I was so shocked when I saw all the jinnis there and all the qudat from the jinn, the qadi from the jinn all sitting there and doing qada of this matter. And so they spoke to me and said, did you kill his brother? So I said, yes, I killed him. But I killed him because of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is reported in so-and-so book and that book, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you see a snake in your house, give it 3 days, okay? So the qudat, they looked at each other. The qadi jinn looked at the other qadi jinn and said, have you ever heard of this hadith? So other jinn looked at him and said, wallahi, I never read this hadith. Then he said that, wallahi, they were about to kill me. They were about to grab me and kill me until an old jinn stood up amongst them and said, I remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard him say this hadith. Okay? So he said that, and he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This jinni spoke out and said, he narrated from Rasulullah directly that he heard this hadith. So he said, wallahi, at that point they let me go and they blamed him and his brother for not knowing this hadith and going to someone, a human being's home. And then they took me back and put me back. And so that I wrote the story of this. He's a great scholar of Islam writing the story, subhanAllah, it's true. So I don't know, yani Allah Ta'ala alam, I don't know, I'm speechless. But it's amazing how, mashallah, yani jinni lived that long. And who knows, some of the sahaba from the jinn may still be alive, Allah Ta'ala alam. طيب. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدَى. They're about to crush him because of them all towering above each other to listen to him. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the last part of the surah Jinn, tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the jinn and the jinn world the following points of advice. What is the points of advice? Number one, say, O Muhammad, to them that indeed, إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي. I worship Allah, I only call upon Allah. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. And I do not associate anyone in partners with him. قُلْ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا رَشَدًا. Say, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them, I do not have any power or authority to cause you any good or any harm. قُلْ إِنِّي لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٌ وَلَنْ أَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. Say, no one can يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٌ. Meaning, no one can save me from Allah's punishment. وَلَنْ أَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. Nor can I ever find a escape away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not find a safety from Allah or from his punishment, what about us, ya akhwati? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. If you were to die, do they think they will live forever? So if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been warned in the Qur'an, and he is the one who has said that if I were to be punished by Allah, I could not find an escape. Then what is the escape and escape for us, ya ikhwati? No escape for us at all. No escape for us. قُلْ إِقُلْ إِنِّي لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٌ وَلَنْ أَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا إِلَّا بَلَاغًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسَالَتِهِ إِلَّا بَلَاغًا مِنَ اللَّهِ, meaning, except that my responsibility is just balagh. It's to just deliver the message. إِلَّا بَلَاغًا مِنَ اللَّهِ means إِلَّا بَلَاغًا عَنِ اللَّهِ, except that my message, my responsibility is to only transmit to you the message from Allah. مِنَ اللَّهِ يَعْنِي عَنِ اللَّهِ ورسالاته, and his message, which is the Quran. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger, فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمْ, for him is the fire of Jahannam. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, he will reside therein forever, forever. حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَوْ مَا يُوعَدُونَ, until they have seen what they were promised. فَسَيَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ أَضْعَفُ نَاصِرًا وَأَقَلُّ عَدَدًا, until when the people enter the Jahannam and they know when they have entered the fire that this is what they have been promised, they will know مَنْ أَضْعَفُ نَاصِرًا, who amongst us is the weakest in helpers, وَأَقَلُّ عَدَدًا, and least in army, in the number of army. قُلْ إِنْ أَدْرِي أَقَرِيبٌ مَا تُوعَدُونَ, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you don't listen and you want to put off repentance and accepting Islam for another time, then know this. قُلْ إِنْ أَدْرِي, say O Muhammad, verily I don't know. إِنْ أَدْرِي means لا أدري أَقَرِيبٌ مَا تُوعَدُونَ, is it what you have been promised, is it قَرِيب meaning what you have been promised, which is the day of judgment, Jahannam, is it close? أَقَرِيبٌ مَا تُوعَدُونَ أَمْ يَجْعَلُ لَهُ رَبِّي أَمَدًا, or will my Lord give it amad, amad meaning high, long duration. Is there a long way to go before Allah will take you to account? You don't know. You don't know whether that will happen soon or later. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا, he is the knower of the unseen and he does not tell about the unseen world, أَحَدًا, to anyone. إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَىٰ مِنْ رَسُولٍ, except for a messenger that he wishes to tell him about the unseen world. Meaning a angel or a human being from the messengers, never from the jinn. Because jinn will never ever be an angel, and jinn will never ever be from the messengers, correct? So he never ever reveals to the jinn anything from the secrets. But he does reveal to either a human being or he will reveal to an angel what he wills from the hidden world. إِلَّا مَنْ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا, so what he does is that he reveals to that human being something from the unseen world, but at the same time, يَجْعَلُ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ, yani he puts مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ, in front of him, وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ, and behind him, رَصَدًا, meaning guards. What does it mean? It means that when Allah is revealing the Qur'an, or Allah is revealing a knowledge of the unseen world to one of the prophets or to an angel, Allah puts other angels as guards so that none of the jinn or any of the shayateen can ever hear that. Does that make sense? إِلَّا مَنْ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا, meaning guards that will guard from that knowledge from being divulged to anyone else. لِيَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, so that everyone knows that this message has been delivered. وَحَاطَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ, and that indeed Allah has indeed encompassed them with knowledge. وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا, and he has taken every single to account, point by point, piece by piece, person by person. He knows every single thing in that detail. Ya ikhwati, this is Surah Jinn. Beautiful Surah. Alhamdulillah. I hope that you have learned a lot about the Jinn now. I'm sure you've heard things you never knew. And, you know, as I used to like to say sometimes, you hear things you never knew. Yeah, you never knew this. Now you know that you know, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, let me recite now Surah Jinn to you. Now that you know it in Arabic, alhamdulillah, listen to it. Now that you know the meaning of it, listen to it in Arabic and inshallah try to follow the meaning of it, bi-idhnillah. And grow in your wisdom and appreciation of this beautiful surah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا وأنه تعالى جد ربنا ما اتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا وأنه كان يقول سفيهنا على الله شططا وأنا ظننا أن لن تقول الإنس والجن على الله كذبا وأنه كان رجال من الإنس يعوذون برجال من الجن فزادوهم رهقا وأنهم ظنوا كما ظننتم أن لن يبعث الله أحدا وأنا لمسنا السماء فوجدناها ملئت حرسا شديدا وشهبا وأنا كنا نقعد منها مقاعد للسمع فمن يستمع الآن يجد له شهابا رصدا وأنا لا ندري أشر أريد بمن في الأرض أم أراد بهم ربهم رشدا وأنا منا الصالحون ومنا دون ذلك كنا طرائق قددا وأنا ظننا أن لن نعجز الله في الأرض ولن نعجزه هربا وأنا لما سمعنا الهدى آمنا به فمن يؤمن بربه فلا يخاف بخسا ولا رهقا وأنا منا المسلمون ومنا القاسطون فمن أسلم فأولئك تحروا رشدا وأما القاسطون فكانوا لجهنم حطبا وأن لو استقاموا على الطريقة لأسقيناهم ماء غدقا لنفتنهم فيه ومن يعرض عن ذكر ربه يسلكه عذابا صعدا وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا وأنه لما قام عبد الله يدعوه كادوا يكونون عليه لبدا قل إنما أدعو ربي ولا أشرك به أحدا قل إني لا أملك لكم ضرا ولا رشدا قل إني لن يجيرني من الله أحد ولن أجد من دونه ملتحدا إلا بلاغا من الله ورسالاته ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإن له نار جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا حتى إذا رأوا ما يوعدون فسيعلمون من أضعف ناصرا وأقل عددا قل إن أدري أقريب ما توعدون أم يجعل له ربي أمدا
عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحدا إلا من ارتضى من رسول فإنه يسلك من بين يديه ومن خلفه رصدا ليعلم أن قد أبلغوا رسالات ربهم وأحاط بما لديهم وأحصى كل شيء عددا.
جزاكم الله خير يا أختي. Hope that inshallah was a beneficial tafsir for you all. بإذن الله next week inshallah. So the tafsir will stop for a week inshallah. It will resume Saturday. It will resume on Saturday inshallah. On Saturday, not the Friday. No tafsir on Friday because there's another talk at Seggi College. You're most welcome to attend that inshallah at Seggi College on Friday. There'll be another talk there. But the tafsir will resume, tafsir of Juz Tabarak, inshallah, will resume on Saturday, okay? Again, 5:15 p.m. sharp in this university masjid, inshallah, IIUM masjid, 5:15 p.m. sharp, and we will start with Surah Muzammil. Surah Muzammil, as the scholars of tafsir mentioned, was the very second surah to be revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Surah Alaq. And inshallah ta'ala, it is all about tahajjud prayer. Beautiful surah. It is the surah of tahajjud prayer, as the scholars say it, inshallah. Please don't miss it. It's very beautiful surah, very heart-touching. Inshallah. See you then, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.